Welcome to the Funimani Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:52 British Summer Time. Today is September 21st. Well, today was dominated by the Fed's announcement and the commentary that accompanied it. Early on this morning, China had really quite a good day. The Hang Seng, though, was down by about 1%. The Nikkei was stronger by about a quarter of 1%. Australia was stronger by just over 0.75%. Indonesia was one of the weaker markets in the ASEAN region, and a number of other markets were in mildly positive territory. Europe started out the day relatively quiet, but as the day wore on, the majority of markets closed down in the region of 1%. The DAX was weaker today by almost 2.5%. In the USA, the Dow Jones and S&P are both down in excess of 2%, the S&P almost 3%, the Nasdaq composite by about 2%, the TSX down by over 2%, Mexico and Brazil both down less than 1%. Gold was weaker today by $22. It's pulled back below the $1,800 level. $1,700 was the low that was reached in mid-August, that could be considered the lower side of the range that has developed over the last 6 weeks. The dollar was strong today against just about everything. US Treasuries were up almost 2 full points. The 10-year was up by 12. The reason for that wide divergence is because of the Fed statement. They have said that they are going to move the duration of their bond portfolio from 75 months out to 100 months in the next year and a bit. That means that they're going to sell or allow to expire their shorter dated holdings, and they're going to reinvest it in the longer end of the curve. On the one hand, that means that there's not going to be any new dollar figure of stimulus, and I think given the amount of uncertainty that continues to stalk investors, I think they were probably looking for some form of stimulus. An additional factor is that the longer dated holdings will make it more difficult for the Fed to eventually recycle their large holdings of treasury bonds, and it does suggest that this large balance sheet that the Fed has accrued is likely to remain a feature for considerably longer than many people expect. What does remain clear is that they're going to leave interest rates on hold for the foreseeable future. So US Treasuries today hit 143 and one third of a point. And that's a breakout to a new high. We see that US Treasury yields are below 3% for the first time since 2009. The impact that that has had on the dollar, no additional creation of dollars has helped to support demand for the US currency. The dollar was stronger today by over 2 cents against the pound, over 1 cent against the euro, over 2 cents against the Australian dollar. It came right down, it's touching the parity level again. Having been as high earlier this year, it was over 110 earlier this year, but it pulled back. It ranged above 105. It broke below that. It went back up and had a look at the 105 area. Now it's pulling back once more. That suggests that at least a medium-term peak has been hit for the Australian dollar against the US dollar. Whereas the majority of Asian markets were stock markets were relatively steady in here today, some up, some down. There is very strong commonality across the entire currencies, the range of currencies. Just about all Asian currencies fell aggressively against the US dollar in here today. The Asian dollar index now has pulled back more in the last month than it did during the correction of last year. So there is a newfound demand for US dollars. When someone looks at the South African rand, for example, the dollar broke upwards, It pulled back slightly, found support in the region of the upper side of the range, and now has extended it. The same thing can be said for the dollar against the euro. So this is a wide, broad-based US dollar rally that we're seeing in here. The rally in the dollar is putting pressure on the commodity complex. That's what we've seen until recently, is that US treasuries and gold in particular were able to rally concurrently. That was in an environment where the dollar wasn't really doing much of anything. It was primarily going sideways, particularly against the euro. What we're now seeing is that the dollar has broken out of a number of trading ranges against a whole slew of currency pairs. The demand for US dollars has increased considerably. The attractiveness of US dollar assets has improved relative to some a number of other countries when one considers the debt issues that you have in Europe, with Italy being downgraded and the continued pressure that is sitting on the periphery of Europe and the European banking sector. Japan isn't without its own problems. The USA certainly has its own problems, but they aren't the focus right now. You have monetary tightening in China and a number of other Asian currencies, and commodity prices have been too high for too long. Some of the economic slowdown that has led to is now being felt. The fact that we had so many industrial related shares leading to the downside back in late July and August suggests that investors are pricing in a slower global economic environment, and they are choosing the US dollar as a potential safe haven. When one looks at currency adjusted year to date figures, the Dow Jones is down about just under 4% for the year. The DAX is down just under 20%. And when one looks at the relative performance, the Dow and the S&P have held up substantially better than a number of other indices. ASEAN indices have probably held up best. Among the better performing indices globally, you had Indonesia, the Philippines, and Thailand were the only markets that had still been above their 200-day moving averages. What we're now seeing is that the Asian dollar index has had a much larger reaction than we've seen for a while. There's no evidence that it's over. A clear upward dynamic weakness for the US dollar against Asian currencies would be required to suggest that investor demand for Asian currencies is returning. We don't have evidence of that yet. The story for the ASEAN region and Asia generally is the growth of domestic demand, but international investors remain the buyers at the margin. And if they are starting to sell their Asian holdings and to raise US dollars, that will mean that those ASEAN countries are not going to remain immune from an additional pullback in terms of their stock market performance. The strength of the US dollar is putting pressure on the commodity complex. Copper today was as high as $3.78. And the 380 level was an area that had provided support on two occasions earlier this year. Copper broke below that level in the last week. It went up and tested it in here today, but it actually closed at 370. So it closed down 2 cents on the day on that COMEX contract. This looks like a completed Type 3 top. Oil today was down $2 on WTI. The progression of lower rally highs remains in place. And on Brent crude, oil is down to 109. It was down $1.36. Brent crude has posted a progression of lower rally highs since early May. The peak was somewhere around $127. It's held the majority of its advance. It still remains in the region of the 200-day moving average. It needs to push back below the $100 level. The strength of the US dollar would certainly help in that regard. And the fact that it wasn't able to sustain its earlier rally today would suggest that we are going to see lower oil prices in the short term. Whether we see a sustained move below $100 or not is an open question at this stage, but a retest of that area has become an increasingly likely proposition with this US dollar strength. So the US dollar's strengthening is a good news and bad news story. The lower commodity prices are likely to be a precondition before we can get a pickup in global economic growth, particularly in energy prices. So the US dollar strengthening will certainly help in that regard. Strength against the Asian currencies isn't particularly good news for those stock markets. They will need substantial additional domestic demand to really help to offset the margin pressure that the weakening currency will have on leveraged foreign investors. So that is a point against those markets. US Treasuries remain in a powerful advance. Today's action is an impressive breakout to new highs. The 140 area was the region of the peak back in 2009. This is an additional new high. So we're hitting an all-time new high for US 30-year Treasuries, which is being funded by the US government. In terms of yield, that's not quite the same thing. The yield got down to a low, well below current levels back in 2009. It fell through 3% today. I think the yield back in 2009 was somewhere in the low 2%. So the yield chart is probably one that is more worth watching in this type of environment. What we continue to see is that this is a strong momentum move. It remains overextended relative to the 200-day moving average. The progression of lower rally highs for the US 30-year Treasury yield is still intact. The 3% area could offer a potential area of support, but a sustained move back above the 3.4% area would really be required to suggest that the supply side is getting the upper hand in here. And there's not a great deal of evidence to support that, particularly with the Fed moving in to push these yields that bit lower. It's not a particular vote of confidence in the US economy. When one puts the action today in perspective from a stock market perspective, one has to bear in mind that we had a powerful rally in stock markets last week. The Dow and the S&P got right up to the upper side of their respective ranges. The Nasdaq 100 pushed back above the 2300 level. They were a little bit overbought in the very short term, and now they're pulling back from the upper side of this range. We still see that on a medium-term basis, there is a large number of completed Type 3 top formations in stock markets. At least part of the oversold condition relative to the 200-day moving averages has been unwound to really indicate that demand is returning to dominance. So these markets need to push back above their respective 200-day moving averages. The Nasdaq has been one of the best performing markets globally. It's one of the only markets to successfully push back up into the overhead range. It has more room than other markets to pull back and consolidate. The progression of lower rally, of sorry, higher reaction lows from August 8th currently sits at 2,150, which would suggest that the Nasdaq could pull back by 100 points and still be within the confines of that progression of higher reaction lows over the last 6 weeks. And at the current juncture, there isn't a great deal to suggest that that's not what it's going to do and pull back and potentially post another higher reaction low. There has been an enormous divergence between industrial shares and those that are leveraged to the growth of the global consumer. And there were a large number of shares that are leveraged to the growth of the global consumer have hit new highs over the last few weeks. This corrective phase does not yet appear to have ended, but the relative strength of the consumer sector does suggest that that is going to be the leading sector when this correction does end. It does look like we're going to see some of these markets pull back towards the lower side of their respective ranges. The DAX in particular was weak in here today. It's been one of the weaker markets in globally over the last 6 and 7 weeks. It's overextended by just about any measure, but its progression of lower rally highs remains intact, and it really does need to break those to really suggest that demand is returning in any kind of meaningful way. So the short-term risks look skewed to the downside. There was a short-term overbought condition that had developed into late last week and early this week. That now is being unwound. Some of the better performing markets and shares should hold their progression of higher reaction lows, and some of the laggards in Europe have the downside is probably being reasserted in here, so they're more likely to form or potentially hit new lows in this current environment. The fact that you have this strong US dollar rally means that the Asian region is potentially under some more pressure than it has been over in the early stages of this corrective phase. The weakness of various currencies against the US dollar will eventually help to support meaningful rallies as their domestic manufacturing sectors regain some of their competitiveness. The strength of the US dollar at present isn't a headwind for corporate America because it's rallying from such a depressed level. If this turns into a meaningful rally, it's already getting out of the starting blocks. It does look like the US dollar has further to go, then the US dollar will start to become a headwind at some point for corporate America, but that's certainly not the case right now. And other currencies haven't fallen enough for the to be a tailwind to their manufacturing sectors. But that's certainly something that we can bear in mind if the US dollar continues to rally in a meaningful way, which does look likely at this stage. I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.